Gamar Gobay Catalunya. This is SevillePod.com, the week in Georgia, in English, coming to you from Palamos in the northeast corner of Spain. Today is Thursday, the 29th of June, 2017. On this date in 1850, the Greek Orthodox Church becomes autocephalous or autonomous from the Patriarchate of Constantinople. 1945, Ruthenia is annexed by the Soviet Union and made a part of the Ukrainian Soviet Socialist Republic. Territory was historically part of Hungary before being annexed to Czechoslovakia after the First World War. These days it's mostly Ukrainian, although some people still speak Hungarian there. 1975, Steve Wozniak tests the first prototype for Apple computer. The first 2007, the first iPhone is released. 2014, the Islamic State of Iraq and Syria, or Daesh, declares itself to be the caliphate, the first caliphate since the Ottoman Sultanate was formally abolished in 2024. I'm your host, Mark Mullen. The podcast is written by Joe Larson. This is his last week working at SevillePod. From next week onward, Robin Bortner will be compiling and writing the podcast. Thanks, Joe, for a job well done. Todo por el sum choblo. If you'd like to comment on the forum or ask a question, go to tevillepod.com or send us an email at tevillepod@gmail.com. So, Otsneba pulled a fast one on the constitutional amendments. The most important part of, is the election stuff. We've talked about it quite a bit. And the whole country has talked about it quite a bit. But now, all of a sudden, they said, out of the blue, 8 days ago, it won't take effect until after the next parliamentary election. The rest is mainly populist BS about foreign land ownership and marriage equality. It's really depressing that they're playing tricks like this. Parliament approved the draft constitution on the first and second readings on the 22nd and 23rd of June with 115 votes for and none against. The three parliamentary opposition parties, National Movement, Movement for Liberty, European Georgian Patriots Alliance, all boycotted the vote. During parliamentary discussions on the draft only a week ago, Parliamentary Speaker Irakli Kobakhidze announced that the amendments to the electoral procedures for Parliament will not go into effect until 2024, meaning that the next parliamentary election scheduled for 2020 will be held under the existing mixed majoritarian proportional system. Electoral blocs will be banned starting in 2020, when the threshold for entering Parliament will drop from 5 to 3%, also starting in 2020. As a reminder, the new procedures for electing the president by a college of electors rather than by the popular vote won't come into effect until 2023, so it's not really clear how they're punishing Margvelashvili with that, which was the only thing they were thinking, really. So the next presidential election in 2018 won't be affected. The president's National Security Council will be abolished and replaced with a defense council active only during wartime. A group of 32 civil society organizations, including the International Society for Fair Elections and Democracy, or ISFED, Georgian Young Lawyers Association, or GYLA, and the hardest-working NGO in the South Caucasus, Transparency International Georgia, issued an appeal to the international community on the 27th of June. The appeal criticized the ruling party's decision to keep mixed majoritarian system in place until 2024. According to the organizations, immediate and full abolition of the majoritarian mandate was their top priority in participating in the Constitutional Reform Commission. Even though they oppose some of the proposed changes, such as the rule on reallocating undistributed mandates to the leading party, they thought abolishing the majoritarian districts would still make it overall positive. According to the appeal, the organizations assessed the delay as a clear targeted attempt to consolidate power on the constitutional level, something which poses a grave threat to democracy in Georgia. They also point out that the new constitution is not based on broad consensus. The organizations called on the international community to use all available instruments to deliver a strong message to the government and ruling party that the attempts towards consolidation of power are incompatible with Western standards of democracy. Venice Commission President Gianni Buccicchio commented this week that he's disappointed that the proportional system won't come into effect until 2024. On a different note, but also involving the constitutional amendments, the Parliament's Speaker defended the same-sex marriage ban, saying It's designed to disempower certain social groups that want to stir up homophobic and anti-Western sentiments in the country. Again, complete BS. While speaking to the Parliamentary Committee on Human Rights, he said the amendments will not become grounds for discrimination and the government respects the rights and interests of every group in society. That explanation didn't fly with some LGBT activists, including Becca Gabadadze, who told Radio Free Europe, Radio Liberty, that the government stirred up homophobia in the first place by campaigning for the constitutional ban on same-sex marriage. By explaining to the public the need to have such an amendment, the Constitutional Reform Commission has actually reinforced existing homophobia in the country. And he's absolutely right. Fourth round of the Geneva International discussion took place on the 20th and 21st of June. The discussion's two working groups on security and on humanitarian issues met. The Georgian delegation focused on Russia's integration of Abkhazia and South Ossetia into its military, political, economic, and humanitarian space, including the referendum on changing the name of South Ossetia and the agreements on integrating local armed forces into the Russian military. Georgia also pointed out Russia's continuous violation of the 2008 ceasefire agreement and called on Russia to commit to non-use of force. The Georgian side also brought up restrictions on movement and detentions along the occupation line, including a recent decision by the South Ossetian authorities to put up additional barbed wire barriers in the village of Avlevi, Ochosani, and Tsitelubani. Georgia called on international mediators to undertake preventive actions against a further borderization of the administrative boundary line. Moscow accused Georgia of political aggression, stressing the recent UN General Assembly resolution on Georgian refugees and documents adopted by the UN Human Rights Council and Council of European Committee of Ministers. Documents by all three bodies condemn Russia for its actions in the occupied territories. The Russian side also expressed its concern regarding Georgia's deepening cooperation with NATO, especially the NATO Parliamentary Assembly declaring declaration on support for Georgia's Euro-Atlantic integration. Russia also wants Georgia to sign bilateral non-use of force agreements with Abkhazia and South Ossetia, agreements that would amount to de facto recognition of the territories as sovereign states. U.S. delegation at the talks condemned the decision of the Abkhaz authorities to drop charges against Rashid Kanjioglu, the Abkhaz border guard who murdered Georgian citizen Giga Otkhozoria at Kurcha last year. When the U.S. delegation brought up the issue of internally displaced persons, the Russian, Abkhaz, and South Ossetian delegations walked out of the meeting, according to a report by Civil.ge. Co-chaired by the EU, the Organization for Security and Cooperation in Europe, or OSCE, UN Geneva International Discussions Forum was created to address security and humanitarian issues stemming from the 2008 war. It involves representatives from Georgia, Russia, and the United States, as well as members of both the governments of Abkhazia and South Ossetia in exile, and the current de facto governments of Abkhazia and South Ossetia. Next meeting is scheduled for the 10th and 11th of October. Following up on the Afghan Mukhtarli case, President Margvelashvili met with Leila Mustayeva, the wife of the jailed investigative journalist. The president asked for a meeting to get direct information from Mustafayeva about recent developments in the case. Also this week, Chief Prosecutor Irakli Shotadze and Deputy Interior Minister Shalva Khutsishvili confirmed that they're still appealing to the Azerbaijani authorities to speak directly with Afghan Mukhtarli. They also said they can't release more information to the public until the interim investigation is concluded, meaning until they have figured out how much they can absolve themselves of responsibility without it being too embarrassing, since they are responsible. In travel to and from Georgia, Foreign Minister Mihail Janeleze flew to Belgrade to attend the inauguration of Serbia's new president, Aleksandar Vučić. The two officials also discussed deepening trade and economic relations between Georgia and Serbia, possibility of lifting visa requirements. Parliamentary delegation went to Strasbourg to attend a week-long summer plenary session of the Parliamentary Assembly of the Council of Europe, or PACE. The human rights situation of Abkhazia and South Ossetia will be discussed at the session. Georgian delegation is led by Vice Speaker of Parliament Tamar Chugoshvili. President of the Venice Commission Gianni Buchiccio arrived in Batumi on Thursday to attend the 17th Congress of the Constitutional Courts of Europe. Also attending the Congress of the President, Prime Minister, and Parliamentary Speaker. Civil.ge reported on a crime wave in Abkhazia this month, which has led opposition politicians and civil society organizations to call upon the authorities to combat lawlessness in the regions. On the 12th of June, a teenage girl was raped in a village near Sukhumi. Her alleged rapist, Astamur Jopua, turned himself into police but still hasn't pleaded guilty or been charged with a crime. Jopua's brother, Alma, served in the Abkhaz National Assembly, leading some to speculate that he's being protected by his brother's position. A few days after the rape, the victim's sister was found murdered, allegedly by the two girls' father. However, according to the report, the murder was instigated by Almas Jopua. Two unrelated cases have also shocked society over the past 2 weeks. A bomb going off outside an apartment building in Sukhumi and the attempted murder of a man in the center of Sukhumi on the 16th of June. The opposition Amska Khara party has taken the lead in condemning a culture of lawlessness, blaming the authorities for failing to fulfill their constitutional duty to maintain order. That has driven people to take matters into their own hands, which creates another class of problems for society. People of Abkhazia for Justice and Development Party issued a separate statement on the 19th of June, also criticizing lawlessness in the region. Relatives of the two young victims of violence gathered in protest on the 19th of June, demanding that both Astamur Jopua and Almas Jopua be punished and accusing the government of trying to cover up their crimes. Amid the public outcry, Abkhaz President Raul Khajimba called on law enforcement to investigate both cases with no mercy and no excuses. Also, Vice President Vitali Gabnia announced that the authorities were bringing in, and I quote, forensic experts from Russia to help with the cases. They haven't helped so well with those cases in London. Russia's Deputy Interior Minister Igor Zubov announced the creation of a new law enforcement agency in South Ossetia, the Information Coordination Center for Internal Affairs Agencies. Yikes. The new center will focus on combating organized crime and carrying out searches and extraditions of international criminals. Last month, Moscow signed an agreement with Sukhumi on establishing a similar agency there. The difference, however, is that the office working at the South Ossetian Center will have the right to carry and use firearms, and there's no limit on the number of personnel who can work at the center. In the Abkhaz agency, personnel will be limited to 20, and no firearms will be allowed. U.S. House of Representatives voted nearly unanimously in favor of a resolution reaffirming the U.S. commitment to Article 5 of the North Atlantic Treaty, which commits every NATO member to come to the defense of any other member if attacked by an outside power. The resolution also called on every NATO member to spend at least 2% of GDP on defense by 2024. The resolution was co-sponsored by House Speaker Paul Ryan, a Republican, Minority Leader Nancy Pelosi, a Democrat. The resolution is an attempt to reassure U.S. allies. Last month, while on a visit to NATO headquarters in Brussels, President Trump didn't say anything about Article 5. The original speech had it in there, and he pulled it out. But he did say he wanted members to pay more for their own defense. Merkel fairly immediately said over beer that Europe can no longer rely on the United States, which, while Trump is president, is true. Government has hired Rasky Partners to handle its lobbying efforts in the United States. They'll pay a monthly fee of $30,000 to Rasky for lobbying its interests with Congress and the White House. The agreement is active from the 5th of May until the 5th of August, at which time both parties can agree to renew. According to the agreement, Rasky will support the Georgian government's efforts to reach out to members of Congress. They'll engage with White House officials on the need to support greater FDI and trade relations with Georgia. Rasky is a Boston-based public relations firm whose CEO has previously represented Joe Biden, John Kerry, and Jimmy Carter. Energy Minister Kahi Kaladze officially announced he's running for mayor of Tbilisi on Otsneva's behalf. He received the prime minister's public endorsement, who said he's implemented a lot of important projects as energy minister and has some interesting plans to implement if elected mayor of Tbilisi. Well, that sounds super exciting. President Margvelashvili announced this week that the municipal elections will take place by the end of the third week of October. He'll announce the exact date by the end of August. Central Elections Commission will spend just over 39 million lari to hold elections. The defense ministry launched its first ever course for drill instructors. The 5-month course is taking place at the Gheorghe Anskhulidze Sergeants Training Center in Tbilisi. 9 sergeants were selected for the course, which is being taught by Georgian instructors who graduated from Fort Jackson Academy in the United States, which specializes in training drill sergeants. A new kindergarten is being built for internally displaced persons living in Poti. A fully equipped kindergarten will serve a community of about 1,244 IDPs living there. As of Saturday, new labeling regulations will be in place for dairy products. Regulations will be enforced by the National Food Agency, and in particular won't allow any products made from milk powder to be labeled as cheese. In addition, any product labeled as butter must have a milk fat content between 39 and 79%. At a press conference, National Food Agency head Zurab Chekurashvili said the new regulations are in response to the popular practice of cheese producers using milk powder to gain a competitive edge in pricing. Producers who violate the regulations will be fined 400 lari for their first offense and 1,200 lari for repeat offenses during the same year. Construction is now finished on the Shua Heavy Hydro Power Plant in Ajada. The HPP will be fully operational later this summer. The $416 million plant will be owned and operated by Ajada Sikari, Georgia, a joint venture that includes India's Tata Power, Norway's Clean Energy Invest, and the International Finance Corporation, or IFC. Project also received funding from the Asian Development Bank, or ADB, European Bank for Reconstruction and Development, EBRD. Plant is expected to produce about 450 gigawatts of electricity each year. According to data from the central bank, 16.4 billion lari were deposited in Georgia's banking sector in May, a 1.1% increase from previous months. Total deposits increased 173 million lari month on month. The volume of lending by commercial banks increased by 173 million lari month on month, or about 0.9%. Most of that increase was accounted for by loans issued in lari, 157.3 million, while monthly increase of loans issued in foreign currencies was 15 million. The total amount loaned by commercial banks in May was 18.7 billion lari. The winery Schilda won 2 gold medals at the International Wine Contest this week in Krakow. The medals were for its Kisi 2015 and Mukuzani also 2015. National rugby team, the Lelos, lost to the Argentinian team Los Pumas 45-29 on the 24th of June. The Lelos won 2 out of 3 in their tour of the Americas, beating the U.S. and Canada before falling to Argentina. The summer rugby schedule is now over. 3 Georgian stunt bikers, Gheorghe Odzelashvili, Lado Gurgadze, and Gheorghe Abashidze, were hired to work on the Bollywood film Garuda Vega, which was recently shot in Georgia. Parliamentary news. Parliament is discussing a package of amendments that would liberalize laws regarding recreational drug use. The amendments were drafted by Georgia's Drug Policy National Platform and submitted by the following Otsuneba members of Parliament: Akaki Zoidze, Levon Koberidze, Dmitry Tskitsashvili, Irina Pruidze, and Sopo Katsarava. The idea behind the amendments, as they claim, is that the law enforcement should focus on fighting drug trafficking, dealing, and associated crime, while drug addicts shouldn't be regarded as criminals unless they violate public order. Prevention should also be a priority, according to the amendments. Mimith this week is a video produced by the hardest working NGO in the Caucasus, Transparency International Georgia, that highlights the difficulties that handicapped people face trying to get around Tbilisi. Without help, it's basically impossible for anyone in a wheelchair to even get out of their building, let alone move around the city. It's problematic in a lot of ways. No ramps, sidewalks that either don't exist or are too narrow for a wheelchair. The dangers posed by aggressive drivers and people parking on the sidewalk, which always seems to be giant cars. Transparency International Georgia reports on corruption in land privatization process in Gardabani Municipality. They've investigated the privatization of 13,850 square meters of land in the municipality and found signs that certain parties with interest in the privatization were given special treatment by the National Agency of State Property and the local and local self-government. They found that the legitimate interests of Well 3 LLC, a company engaged in drilling, were disadvantaged in favor of IO, another company. For IO, the procedures for getting the bid approved were much simpler and faster. Also fishy, after buying the land from the government, IO immediately tried to turn around and sell it to Well 3 for 2.5 times what they had paid to buy it from the state. So, to speak frankly, Well 3 asked about the land. Somebody at the agency then immediately got it sold to a friend and told him to go to Well 3 and they'd be interested in buying, jack up the price, they split the difference. Let's see if anybody is prosecuted. The Bertelsmann Stiftung published a report on the challenges facing Georgia, Moldova, and Ukraine in implementing the deep and comprehensive free trade agreement in the EU. In particular, the report emphasizes that for many local producers, the cost of regulatory compliance outweighs any potential benefits from access to the EU market. The report calls on the EU to show more flexibility regarding compliance if it wants to maintain support for EU integration in its neighborhood. Reforms should be sequenced to smoothen the compliance process, and the EU should support institutional reforms that strengthen the local business environment. The EU should provide conditional technical support to ease the cost of compliance. Comedian Jim Jeffries interviews Azerbaijani minister to the U.S. Ambassador Elin Suleimanov. Jeffries asked the ambassador some questions about Azerbaijan and the wider region, including Georgia. He addresses human rights issues in the country, to which Suleimanov calls Azerbaijan an emerging democracy. Suleimanov also likes beautiful women with big breasts, apparently. If you can stomach Jeffrey's cringe-worthy Australian accent and frat boy shtick, check it out. And our incredible Santa Monica correspondent tipped us off about a new documentary film that's not clear what language it's in, at least I couldn't figure that out, by Alexandru Solomon, titled Tarzan's Testicles. Variety reviewed the film, which concerns an institute in Suchumi where monkeys and apes are bred for live medical experimentation. The film also tells Abkhazia's recent history through a string of inferences and digressions while focusing on the strange and grotesque goings-on inside the Institute of Experimental Pathology and Therapy. The film focuses on a feature of Abkhaz society that runs counter to what's going on in most European countries. The older generation rejects religion and believes in the capacity of science to move humanity forward, where the younger generation embraces Christianity and is skeptical of what it sees as scientific dogmatism. This film is not really about Abkhazia, though. It's about man's bestial nature and the conflict between reason and science. Georgian Institute of Politics publishes the results of its expert poll on the constitutional amendments. Overall, the majority think the electoral system created by the new constitution will make the country less democratic. As for specific amendments, changing the procedures for electing the president was unpopular with the respondents. 76% said that it would make the country less democratic, and not one of the more than 25 experts surveyed said that it would make Georgia more democratic. As for changing the electoral system for parliament, 79% said that they would make the situation worse, and 13% that said that it will make Georgia more democratic. Georgian Institute of Politics publishes the expert poll every quarter in collaboration with one of our favorite listeners, Hans Goodbrod. Georgia scores high marks on their trafficking in persons report produced by the United States State Department. The report assesses different countries around the world for effectiveness in combating human trafficking. Georgia scored in Tier 1, which puts it in the same company with higher-scoring countries in Western Europe. According to the report, the government has shown serious and sustained efforts by adopting the 2017 and 18 National Action Plan and continuing to investigate and screen vulnerable populations for signs of trafficking. There's room for improvement, too. According to the report, victim identification remains weak for children suffering from exploitation, such as forced begging and criminality, and for people working in exploitative labor conditions. And Georgia remains a source, transit, and destination country for women and girls subject to sex trafficking. All this stuff to read is posted in our forum. This week's dive bar number is 7.74 million, the number of copies printed of books published by Georgian publishers in 2011, according to the Georgian Publishers and Booksellers Association. That year, a total of 3,420 different titles were printed. The largest proportion of those books, 28%, were for children and young adults. Generator 9.8 is back in business. They've reopened in Kikvidze Park, where they're collaborating with Nadzaladevi Media Tech. For now, it's just a co-working and meeting space that's open, but they plan to reopen the cafe in the autumn. Tbilisi Street Food Festival is on the 1st of July at Tatsminda Park. It's a one-day festival where guests can try a variety of foods. There'll also be live music by Svansik and a few other groups. From the British Georgian Society, Justin McKenzie Smith, the British ambassador to Georgia, and Tamar Berochashvili, the Georgian ambassador to the UK, will give a joint talk on the 6th of July at Westminster Hall, the Palace of Westminster. The event is from 5:30 to 7:30 p.m. Georgian wine and snacks will be there. The event is for British Georgian Society members only. If you're interested, write them and ask. U.S. Embassy is putting on its annual 4th of July party. This year, it will actually be on the 8th of July, which is Saturday. The party is all day. Food's provided, but it's a cash bar for beer and wine. Contact the American Chamber of Commerce if you're interested in attending. Tickets usually go quickly. Also from the British Georgian Society, on the 14th of September, Eric Lee, an American trade unionist, is launching his new book, The Experiment, which chronicles the First Georgian Republic's experiment with social democracy from 1918 to 1921. We'll let you know as soon as we know the time and the place. The 6th annual Tbilisi Marathon will take place on the 22nd of October. Registration opened this week. It's actually a half marathon. If you want to find out more information, call Heidelberg Cement and ask for Nikolos Gingikadze. That's it for this week. My Twitter address is at TXTBUK. That is Tango X-Ray, Tango Bravo Uniform Kilo. Our email is tfilpod@gmail.com or post to the forum on our website, www.tfilpod.com. We'll finish with, from North Carolina, this is Randy Travis, 1987, and forever and ever, amen.
You may think that I'm talking foolish. You've heard that I'm wild and I'm free. Wonder how I can promise you now this love that I feel for you always will be. Well, you're not just time that I'm killing. I'm no longer one of those guys. As sure as I live, this love that I give is gonna be yours until the day that I die. For oh, baby, I'm gonna love you forever, forever and ever, amen. As long as old men sit and talk about the weather, as long as old women sit and talk about old men. If you wonder how long I'll be faithful, I'll be happy to tell. I'm gonna love you forever and ever, amen. They say time takes its toll on the body, makes the young girl's brown. Time can play tricks on memory, make people forget things they knew. But it's easy to see, it's happening to me. I've already forgotten. sit and talk about the weather as long as old women sit and talk about old men. If you wonder how long I'll be faithful, just listen to how this song ends. I'm gonna love you forever and ever, amen. I'm gonna love you forever and ever, forever and ever, forever and ever, amen.